Now we have here in the first 20 verses, the vision of chapter 10 continued. And this is historical. That is, it covers the period from Darius, at the time the vision was given to Daniel, to the division of the empire of Alexander the Great. And it bridges the gap from Media Persia over to Greece, from Asia to Europe, the transition of world power from one continent to another, from the east to the west. And that makes this especially important. And then because the nation Israel was caught like it was in a vice between these different powers at this time, and as we've indicated, it was a period of great suffering for these people. I doubt whether there's been, up to the present, any period that's been greater than this. Now I begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 11 of Daniel. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now the speaker here is Gabriel, and the time is the same as in chapter 6. It was during this period that Daniel was cast into the den of lions. And you remember Darius tried in vain to deliver Daniel, yet he could say, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." In other words, Gabriel confirmed Darius in his faith, and he also comforted and assisted Daniel at this time. And we hear Daniel say, "My God hath sent his angel, and he hath shut the lion's mouth." So, historically, that is where this vision fits in. And it bridges now this inner testament between the testament, this gap. Verse 2, I'm reading, "And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece." Now, from here through verse 34, I think is one of the most remarkable examples of pre-written history. This section is caused the destructive critic to demand a late date for the composition of the book of Daniel. Here are clear-cut statements of prophecy which have been literally fulfilled. Today, and I know I'm speaking to two groups of people, those who are liberal in theology, many of them listen to us, we're delighted to have them, and then those that are conservative. I am not seeking to try to turn any liberal, but I personally do not like the liberal to be called a liberal. To me, they're the most narrow-minded people, whether they be theologians or politicians. I've been rather amused and also almost angered, to tell the truth, to hear some of the so-called liberals in our government today, most of them are millionaires, and they have such marvelous programs for helping the poor. But who's paying for it? Are they paying for it? No. We're paying for it. We average people. They have the finest programs to increase our taxes, and their taxes are not increased. I don't like the idea of them being called liberals. Someone has called them the limousine liberals. That's a good name. Now, we have a same kind of group today among theologians. They like to speak of the fact that they are broad-minded. They don't have a narrow conception of Scripture. Now, let me ask you if this is narrow. As one of them, right here in Southern California, he said to McGee, "I listened to you on the radio sometime." He said that in a very condescending manner. I should have been honored by that. He made the statement. He says, "You know, you accept prophecy as being reliable." And he used this book of Daniel. And I said to him, "What authority do you have for rejecting the early date of Daniel and accepting a late date for Daniel? Well, he says, it's very simple. He says, we know that miracles are impossible, and they do not happen. Therefore, if this was written beforehand, it would be miraculous. So it must have been written afterward. Now, I'd like to ask you, is that being narrow-minded and prejudiced and biased? And therefore, I don't expect to influence anyone that's a liberal. I merely say this, my friend, here is one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture, and a conservative scholarship can sustain the early date of Daniel, and that means you got a miracle on your hand. That means here's something that is quite remarkable. Now, listen to this. He says here to Daniel, because Daniel won't be living much longer, you see. He died sometime during this period. And he says to Daniel, he says, there are going to be three kings. Then there'll be a fourth one, four kings in all. And he said, there are going to be notable kings. Well, after Cyrus, which we saw mentioned in the 10th chapter, verse 1, there would be follow then four notable kings in Persia. Now, we can identify them today, Cambyses, 529 B.C., Pseudo-Smyrtus, 522 B.C., Darius Hystaspes in 521 B.C., and finally Xerxes, the fourth one. He is the one who invaded Greece in 480 B.C. He was defeated, and never again did Media-Persia make a bid for world dominion. Xerxes is the Ahasuerus, we believe, in the book of Esther. And he was very rich, as the prophecy here said he would be.